Glad that you're with us today. A number of weeks ago, we started this preaching series with the question of how do we rebuild our lives? And I think for all of us, there are times, even in our spiritual life, that we don't feel as close to God as we want to feel, or maybe that we once felt. And I think for many of us, there were times in our life where we felt so close to God that we just knew we would always feel that way. And then a week goes by and we wonder, where did that feeling go? So how do we get back to God? How do we return to God with all of our heart? Well, a couple of things. God wanted his nation, all of his people, to know him and to love him, just as God loves his people and loves each person. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, this was a beautiful passage of scripture where God is speaking to Solomon and all of his people by saying this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." And maybe that's a good passage of scripture, but someone says, you know, but that happened thousands and thousands of years ago. How do we today, in 2017, as individuals and as the church, how do we return to God with a passion for Christ Jesus and a passion for his church? And I think it's pretty safe to say that there are many Christians in this world who feel that they have a sense of spirituality, somewhat of a connection with the scriptures, but as far as church is concerned, that's somewhat passe, that's institutional, that doesn't really work for me, and I'm not really sure that that's what I want to be part of. When in fact, the Bible makes it very, very clear, and Paul talks about this all throughout his letters. He writes to churches to encourage them to stay close to God. And one of the ways that we can have a passion for Christ is by encouraging each other, reaching out to one another. Back in the book of Ephesians, he says, God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills everything in every way. And then Paul goes on to say, now you are the body of Christ, and each one is part of it. In 1 Corinthians, he mentions that. So there is no disconnect between our spiritual lives, understanding scripture, and being part of his body. In fact, when you read, as we're doing right now in our small group, when you read of how the church first started, people were excited. There was such a passion. There was such a change in their lives. They couldn't get enough of understanding who Jesus is and what Jesus wants to do in our life. And as you see the church continue to grow in the New Testament, there's this beautiful vision, this beautiful understanding that God loves the world, every single person, and the universe itself. And God is in the process of changing us, redeeming us, renewing us, and he asks us to team up with him by living in such a way that is positive, forward-looking, knowing that God is not sleeping, God's not resting, God's not dead, but God is as much alive today as he ever was, and he wants us to work with him in demonstrating what Jesus represented, who Jesus is. So if we want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If we want to know how God feels about us in the world, look at Jesus and follow his teachings. I think encouragement is so important. So important, in fact, that people would go along and they would just share the story of Jesus. And sometimes whole households of people would come to Christ all at once. There's just this passion, this joy for Christ Jesus. So you read stories about Cornelius, who didn't have any background in the Old Testament and so forth, and he hears the story of Jesus Christ. Not only is he passionate about it, but he and his entire family are baptized. And then you know the story of the Philippian jailer who has Paul and Silas locked in chains, and then all of a sudden this earthquake happens, and he's wondering what in the world is going on, and Paul just simply tells him about Jesus. And around midnight, I think it was, the jailer brings Paul and Silas to his own home, and in the middle of the night, the jailer and all his household are baptized. It's exciting. And maybe you remember the day when you gave yourself to Christ Jesus, or you've been thinking about that day that you want to give yourself to Christ Jesus, and how important it is to rebuild our lives by returning to Christ Jesus with a passion. So if there's any strength in the lesson today, the strength will be found in just looking at a variety of passages that all throughout the Bible, different writers encourage us to stay close to Christ Jesus. So I want to start today in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And if you want to follow on PowerPoint, go ahead. And even though they're there, you may want to jot them down and look at them in the future. So here's Paul saying to this young evangelist, Timothy, who had a pretty difficult job as a young preacher, helping this church in Ephesus to grow, and people were criticizing him. They wanted to move him this way, and other people wanted to move him that way. Finally, Paul comes along and he says this, and I think it might help us. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Now that passage might go, okay, that's helpful, maybe. But what that says to me is, how do churches grow? And it would be right to say the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It would be right to say that we're ready for it. It would be right to say that the teaching is okay. But you know how churches grow? Churches have always grown the same way, through the influence of family and friends. Whole households were baptized because they heard the teachings, and a whole family, and another family, and then another family would come. And even with these mega churches today, very seldom does somebody just walk into a church building and go, this is my home. It's building relationships. I found something in this church that's been very helpful. I know about Jesus better now than I ever have known before. The scripture's coming alive to me. Hopefully some of these things are said, but the important part of it is it's returning us to God with a passion. And churches, congregations grow through the influence of family and friends. Hey, there's something here that's really helped me. Come on out and try this. And that's no different than what happened in the first century church. People just started to come in. Hey, this is great. Come and be part of this. And families came in together. Well, there are other scriptures that I thought were helpful. In a little book that we seldom read, it's the book of Philemon, and there's no chapters to this. It's just basically a verse or two, an individual. And here's what is said to Philemon. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And one of the things I've noticed over the years is that if you have family and friends and we start to share, teach them a little bit about Christ Jesus, and pretty soon they become Christians, it's not long before they're teaching us. They see new exciting things that maybe we've never seen before. And I could just see the church beginning in the first century, and it's exploding, it's growing. More and more people are coming in. And all of a sudden, somebody goes over here, and then somebody goes over there, and somebody goes over there. And we don't know all the stories. Like the Ethiopian official who's riding along in his chariot. I guess today we'd say he's driving a convertible or something like that. And all of a sudden he stops, and you know, God whispers into the ear of a wonderful follower of Christ, go and talk to this guy. And I think that there are times in our lives when we hear a whisper from God. There's a nudging from God. I just want you to be with this person for a while. And if we open ourselves up to it, we can get nervous about it, or we can just say, it's God who's urging me. God's all over this. Yes, I'm going to go. And all of a sudden, this man, this Ethiopian official, basically doesn't wait for the end of the story. He stops the story and says, stop, I want to be baptized. And this person is baptized, and then off he goes. So where does he go? Well, probably back to Ethiopia. What do you think he does? Who knows? Churches in Africa have grown and grown and grown. But it's the influence of returning to God with a passion. This has changed my life, people have said. And it's an ongoing relationship. Well, one of the great books in the Bible is the book of Hebrews. And when the Hebrew letter was written, number one, we have no idea who wrote this letter. Number two, it doesn't appear to be a particular church as much as it is just a whole gathering of people. So I guess maybe that is a church. And they're feeling the negativity of society bearing down on them. It's almost like people are having to say, well, I guess I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure about lots of things. And they're starting to back away and back away and back away. And whoever wrote Hebrews says, I want to encourage you to return to God with great, great passion. So there are a number of scriptures I'd like us to notice. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Now, what's interesting here is that the writer of Hebrews is not only writing to a group of people, he's speaking to each one of them, maybe us. Donnie, you need to be more careful what you've heard so that you don't begin to drift. Understand what it is to have this passion for Christ, that he is our life, that the very breath we breathe is a gift given to us by God. And whether we're a Canadian or come from Nigeria or come from Hong Kong or come from Thailand or wherever we are, God's fingerprints have been stamped on our heart even before we knew it. And when we give ourselves to Christ, our lives continue to change. God always wants people to know that they are loved and that he's given his life for them. Therefore, in return, to love him and share it with others. So also in Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and this is something that each one of us can do. Let us consider how we may encourage one another or spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And then in verse 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, that last part, as you see the day approaching, some people might think, well, that's the day, I guess, that I die and then I go to heaven. But that's not what the Hebrew writer is saying. As we see the day approaching all the way through the scriptures, there's this discussion about the day when the heavens disappear and the earth is laid bare. And the culmination of heaven and earth becoming one, where God comes to dwell on the new heaven and the new earth with us. It's not living in this world hoping that we can scrape by and maybe go to heaven. It's the reality of foreshadowing the redemption, not only of our lives, but the entire universe together someday and one day. And if we can't get passionate about that, I think maybe we need to go back and rework our understanding of who Jesus is. He's always at work in our lives. And then in verses 35 and 36 in Hebrews, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And then we're going to skip on to chapter 12. Chapter 11 was this great chapter of faith. But in chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, watch this. And I missed this for such a long time. But you have come to Mount Zion. Stop. I know it's Sunday morning. I know we can get the... I missed this for years. He's writing about something in the future, but he sees us there right now. Have you ever noticed that? He's not talking about the future. He's talking about seeing you right now in that future. But you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. The church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, who is the judge of all people, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect. And then in verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. I get so excited when I'm reading this because he's not talking about something only that might happen to you someday. He says, I'm already guiding you there. I'm with you. I'm bringing you to this place. Don't you see all the angels around you who are always at work in your life? You've never been alone for one second, and he's there encouraging us on, spurring us on, because it is possible to, with our head, acknowledge, yep, I believe in Jesus Christ, but somehow to just get lost. How do we rebuild our lives, our spiritual lives? It's keeping the understanding that not even for one second during the day do we live by ourselves. But God, who lives in us through Christ Jesus, who always whispers in our ear, you're already there. You're already there. I'm with you. You're already there. Someone says, well, if I'm already there, then why aren't I? Because we're encouraging others. We want all people to come to know Christ Jesus. And then in 1 Peter, Peter writes about being an encourager. So if you're with us a week or so ago, we heard the story of Jesus saying to all of his disciples, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to die and so forth. And Peter, who leads the rest of the followers, says, we will never fail you. We will never leave you. In fact, even if we have to die for you, we will never leave you. Now, you know the story. Peter left, as did all the other disciples. When things got difficult, they left. And so Peter, now, as he returned to God, and he confesses to Christ, and Peter is warmly welcomed by Christ, and as Peter denied Christ three times, Jesus, after his resurrection, comes to Peter with this question. Peter, do you love me? He says, yes. And then they talk some more. Oh, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. And then the third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's hurt by that. And Jesus looks at him and says, feed my sheep. Are there times in our life where we have said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, Jesus. I'll keep that passion alive forever and forever. And then, maybe as time goes on, we haven't. And we can hear maybe Jesus ask us, Donnie, do you love me? Well, yes, I do. But Donnie, do you love me? Yeah, I do. No, but really, really, do you love me? Well, yes, God, then feed my sheep. So who are the sheep? The entire world. If God's going to change and redeem the entire world, isn't there encouragement on us to never lose our passion for welcoming people to Christ Jesus, So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 talk about that. And then I want to look in verses 9 and 10. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Again, he's talking about us right now. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then in verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's this welcome of all people. Now, years ago, and I'm going to wrap up. Years ago, there were times when churches would just all come together. Years and years ago, there was something called the June meeting within the Churches of Christ. How many remember the June meetings? Well, the June meeting was basically just one big place, and usually one particular church would take the leadership of it, and it would be Christians coming from all over, Churches of Christ particularly, coming from all over, and they came to worship together. There was a reason for it. There was a reason for it. And the reason was, I'm still believing, are you? The reason was, let's get together and praise God. And if we praise God together, we're going to encourage each other. And we're going to sit and have lunch together. And we're going to tell stories to each other about what's happening. It wasn't a critical time. It wasn't a boasting time. It was a time to say, we are not dimming our passion for Christ. We are fueling it up. We are giving ourselves to Christ, which means we give ourselves to each other. See, it's one thing when God says, God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him head of everything for the church. And the church can be something. Even though we belong to the church, sometimes the church is, well, it's something. Well, do you go to church? Yeah. Well, is that the church? No. There's no disconnect between a believer in Christ and his church. There is this connection of family, of oneness. And even if we're pulling back from Christ on occasion, he's not pulling back from us. And he stirs us on. I'm going to skip all the way to the last passage of scripture that I'd like to look at today. This is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Peter 1 and verse 16. I'm going to skip a few others. This is Peter saying this, because have you ever wondered sometimes, is this really true? I mean, what we're doing, stop and think about it. Is this really true, what we do? I mean, we're all busy during the week, and I can be a Christian on my own, and I don't really need to have all these people, and besides, people cause problems, and I cause enough of my own problems. We can talk ourselves out of any situation. But I love what Peter says, because he's been there. And how many of us have been there? And he tells us this. This is not something we invented. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter says this, I was there. I touched him. I saw him. I experienced him. I spent 3 years of my life with him. And when push came to shove, I couldn't do it. And I backed away. But he brought me back. And I will never leave him again. In fact, legend tells us, we don't know if it's true, that all of the disciples, most of them at least, except for John, were killed because of their witness, because of their faith. And Peter was going to be crucified like Jesus, but he said, I'm not worthy. And so they say, whether it's true or not, that he was crucified upside down. I don't know what the big deal is about that, except I'm not even worthy, he said, to be crucified the way Jesus was. He is my life. But I'm not concerned about my life, because I know what's on the other side, and I know what the future is going to hold. And when he writes his book, he doesn't write it 2,000 years in the future for us to say, maybe someday you'll be there. He said, here's how God sees you in Christ Jesus today. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something that was just happened to seem to work, but it's the reality of Christ living in our hearts. So my encouragement for all of us, no matter where we are in Christ Jesus, that we keep the passion of Jesus Christ alive. How do we rebuild our lives? We return to God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will return to them. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for loving us beyond words. We thank you that we can be part of your kingdom and part of your body. May we receive encouragement this week to know that as witnesses of Christ Jesus, as believers of Christ Jesus, that if we can say an encouraging word to others to help them reflect upon the fact that they are not alone and that God lives in them, encouraging them to come to know Christ Jesus. And it's through his name that we pray. Amen.